the cases will continue to rise if we don't have a vaccine to stem things, a vaccine to even produce to give us some herd immunity.
COVID vaccines roll out slowly. It's Friday, January 22nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, getting the vaccine to soldiers. A new U.S. president is in the White House, riding on the water. It's all on today's VOA Asia. This week, the head of the World Health Organization warned that the world is on the brink of a catastrophic moral failure over the distribution of COVID-19 vaccines. This comes after some countries are already well underway with their vaccine campaigns, while others do not know when they will get their first shots. We hear more from VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo.
As some countries ramp up vaccinations against COVID-19, the head of the World Health Organization warns the prospects for equitable vaccine distribution are at serious risk.
More than 39 million doses of vaccine have now been administered in at least 49 higher-income countries. Just 25 doses have been given in one lowest-income country. Not 25 million, not 25,000, just 25.
Speaking at the World's Body Annual Executive Board meeting in Geneva this week, Tedros Ghebreyesus said it's not right that younger, healthier adults in rich countries get vaccinated against COVID-19 before older people in poorer countries.
Not only does this me-first approach leave the world's poorest and most vulnerable people at risk, it's also self-defeating. Ultimately, these actions will only prolong the pandemic, prolong our pain. The restrictions needed to contain it and human and economic suffering.
Global coronavirus cases have exceeded 96 million, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. The United States, India, Brazil, Russia, and Britain are the five most affected nations. Though some countries have been inoculating parts of their populations since December, African health authorities, for example, say it could be weeks, even months, until they get their first shots. With over 113,000 cases and more than 1,450 deaths, Nigerian Dr. Oluwajoba Orogi says cases are mounting every day, and he and his colleagues are feeling drained.
The cases will continue to rise if we don't have a vaccine to stem things, a vaccine to even produce, to give us some herd immunity. So that continues to mean more work stress, more mental stress, more stress on all the resources that I, as an individual, and the facility has to offer.
Also this week, President Joe Biden said he will reverse the decision to withdraw the United States from the World Health Organization and is sending American immunologist Anthony Fauci to the WHO Executive Board meeting this week to help develop an international COVID-19 response plan. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Find out more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia, and we invite you to stop by our website. That's voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Biden administration criticizes China sanctions on former Trump officials. Thailand charges opposition figures with defaming king. Twitter says it locked account of China's U.S. embassy over Xinjiang-related tweet. Bangladesh expects to start Rohingya repatriation to Myanmar in June. Fire rips through COVID-19 vaccine plant in India. You'll find more on all these stories online as you visit VOA Asia Facebook and our website, voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The U.S. military has so far contained the coronavirus within its ranks. That's thanks in part to strict discipline and the ability to easily enforce social distancing rules on military bases. But as the Pentagon rolls out COVID-19 vaccines, it is encountering a new challenge: how to convince service members to voluntarily take the vaccine. More from VOA's Bill Gallo in Seoul.
The first doses of the coronavirus vaccine arriving at Camp Humphreys, the largest overseas U.S. military base. A big step toward protecting the nearly 30,000 U.S. troops here in South Korea. But at least for now, the military won't be forcing anyone to receive the vaccine. Military officials tell VOA it could be up to 2 years before the U.S. Food and Drug Administration gives the vaccine full approval that would allow it to become mandatory. Colonel Doug Luger, the lead U.S. medical officer in South Korea, who spoke to VOA remotely, says it's an unusual situation for military leaders.
Here in the military, especially, you know, the Army, we're not used to telling people to volunteer or asking them to volunteer for things like this. That's been an interesting thing to work through to help make sure people make good, informed decisions.
Like anywhere else, there has been some skepticism about the vaccine, which was developed much more quickly than many expected. To allay those concerns, the military rolled out educational campaigns to combat disinformation. And to set an example, senior leaders were among the first to get the shots.
I think we're hitting about the right tone with that, not ceding the battlefield to the conspiracy theorists, getting the information out there, but on the other hand, not being overbearing or strong-arming people.
Luger says the U.S. military does have experience administering voluntary vaccines, but not at this level or with this much urgency. So far, the plan is working, says Colonel Lee Peters.
Since we've seen the vaccine and people have kind of like observed and watched and did their own research and education, we've seen those numbers grow dramatically to where I would say very few people are now saying, hey, I don't want the vaccine.
Military officials won't say how many have taken the vaccine here in South Korea. For now, frontline health workers and other critical positions are first in line. Eventually, the vaccine will be available to everyone who wants it. But it's not clear when it will be mandatory. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Happening now in Asia, a worker trapped in a gold mine for more than a week has died as rescuers tried to clear debris and improve ventilation to save 21 others also stuck deep below ground. That's according to state media reporting on Thursday. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us as we wrap up an eventful week at VOA Asia. Former Vice President Joseph R. Biden became the 46th President of the United States on Wednesday, taking the oath of office in an inauguration unlike any other in American history. We hear more from VOA's congressional correspondent, Catherine Gibson.
The President-elect of the United States.
The power of the U.S. presidency was peacefully transferred Wednesday amid unprecedented security.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
Democrat Joseph R. Biden, Barack Obama's former vice president, became the 46th president of the United States, standing on the steps of a building that was attacked exactly 2 weeks ago by supporters of former President Donald Trump. Biden sending a clear message about the assault and the efforts to overturn his election.
Democracy is precious. Democracy is fragile. And at this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed.
He then called on the country to move forward together.
Politics doesn't have to be a raging fire, destroying everything in its path. Every disagreement doesn't have to be a cause for total war. And we must reject the culture in which facts themselves are manipulated and even manufactured.
Biden assumes the presidency facing multiple crises, among them the coronavirus pandemic that has killed 400,000 Americans.
We're entering what may be the toughest and deadliest period of the virus. We must set aside politics and finally face this pandemic as one nation.
He will be assisted by Vice President Kamala Harris.
The duties of the office upon which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
the first woman in U.S. history to hold that office, as well as the first woman of color and Indian American. Traditional inauguration festivities were muted for security reasons and also to observe pandemic safety protocols. Hundreds of flags decorated the National Mall where people would have stood. And a record 25,000 National Guard troops were on hand to prevent any further security breaches. Protests were limited.
The end is near.
In a first in modern presidential history, President Trump chose not to attend the ceremony or welcome his successor to the White House. Vice President Mike Pence taking his place instead. But Biden had a message to Trump's supporters.
Take a measure of me and my heart. If you still disagree, so be it. That's democracy. That's America. The right to dissent peaceably.
Biden assumes the presidency backed by a Democratic-controlled U.S. Senate and House, a powerful partner in his first-term agenda to combat climate change, pass immigration reform, and to rebuild America's image abroad.
We will repair our alliances and engage with the world once again, not to meet yesterday's challenges, but today's and tomorrow's challenges.
The oldest person to ever assume the office of the president, Biden has planned out an intensive 10-day sprint to jumpstart his administration's agenda. That will include a renewed attempt to rebuild the American economy with a new round of coronavirus aid. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Let's take a ride on a new kind of bike, one that skirts across lakes and waterways, powered by an electric engine and a battery. Michelle Quinn got a ride.
It looks like something out of the future, a bike that skates on top of the water. It began as these things do with a dream. In this one, the company founder was biking on an estuary.
When he woke up, he could only describe it as the same experience that he'd experienced on the land. And that inspired him to be like, how can we replicate cycling, but now on the water?
And so the Manta 5 was born. It is a waterproof electric bike that transforms lakes and rivers into new arenas for cycling enthusiasts. There are pedals, a 460-watt electric motor, and a battery, which lasts for more than 3 hours. Not that much different from an electric bike. But this is something different. Carbon fiber wings called foils act like airplane wings. GPS, tilt sensors, and an accelerometer help get the rider out of the water.
And then as you start pedaling, the motor will give you extra boost and you're able to come up onto the plane.
It's different than riding a bike on the road.
We don't have a wheel, so the whole feedback system is quite different. So we use GPS for speed.
The bike can go 20 kilometers per hour. Manta 5 envisions water biking as a way to open up waterways for people to explore, and maybe one day a future Olympic sport. The New Zealand company plans to cross the English Channel on the Manta 5 next summer. But first, people have to start doing it.
And then once you get the hang of it, it's like riding a bike.
It's like flying slowly over water. And then comes the reminder, this is not a dream. Stop pedaling, the battery cuts off, and you slowly start to sink. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, Las Vegas.
That's our program for today. We're glad you could join us for VOA Asia. Continue online. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. You'll also find our full-length programs on our website. That's voanews.com. We also like to thank those who help bring this program to you every day, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.